You Forever by Tuesday Love Sang Grandpa, read to you by Blue Friend. Lesson 10. We have said there is nothing to fear except fear. We must emphasize again that provided a person remains free from fear, there is no danger whatsoever in astral traveling, no matter how far nor how fast one goes. But you may ask, what is there to fear? Let us devote this lesson to the subject of fear and what there is that should not be feared. Fear is a very negative attitude, an attitude which corrodes our finer perceptions. No matter of what we are afraid, any form of fear does harm. People may fear that, in going into the astral state, they may not be able to return to the body. It is always possible to return to the body, unless one is actually dying, unless one has come to the end of one's allotted span on Earth, and that, as you will agree, has nothing to do with astral traveling. It is possible, we must admit, that one can be so afraid as to be paralyzed with fright, and in that case one just cannot do anything. In such a condition, a person may be in the astral body and may be so utterly terrified that even the astral body is unable to move. Of course, that delays the return to the physical body for some time, until the sharpness of the fear wears off. Fear does wear off, you know. A sensation can be sustained only for a certain time. So, a person who is afraid merely delays a perfectly safe return to the physical body. We are not the only form of life in the astral, just as humans are not the only form of life on Earth. In this world of ours, we have pleasant creatures like cats and dogs and horses and birds, to mention just a few. But there are also unpleasant creatures like spiders that bite or snakes that poison. There are unpleasant things like germs, microbes, and other harmful and noxious things. If you had seen germs under a high-powered microscope, you would see such fantastic creatures that you would imagine that you were living in the days of the dragons of fairy tale fame. In the astral world, there are many things stranger than anything you can encounter on Earth. In the astral, we shall meet remarkable creatures or people or entities. We shall see nature spirits. These, by the way, are almost invariably good and pleasant. But there are horrible creatures who must have been seen by some of the writers of mythology and legend, because these creatures are like the devils, the satyrs, and other various aspected fiends of the myths. Some of these creatures are low elementals who may later become humans, or they may branch out into the animal kingdom. Whatever they may be, at this stage of their development, they are thoroughly unpleasant. It is worth pausing a moment here to point out that drunkards, those who see pink elephants and various other remarkable apparitions, are indeed seeing precisely that type of creature. Drunkards are people who have driven their astral body out of the physical and into the very lowest planes of the astral world. Here they meet truly fearsome creatures, and when the drunkard later recovers, as much as he ever does, his senses, then he has quite a vivid memory of the things that he saw. While getting thoroughly drunk is one method of getting into the astral world and remembering, it is not one which we would recommend, because it takes one only to the very lowest, to the most degraded planes of the astral. There are various drugs now in use by the medical profession, principally in hospitals for the mentally sick, which have a similar effect. Mescaline, for example, can so alter one's vibrations that one is literally ejected from the physical body and catapulted into the astral world. Here again, this is not a method to be recommended. Drugs and other forms of getting out of the physical body are truly harmful. They cause harm to the overself. But let us return to our elementals. What do we mean by elementals? Well, elementals are a primary form of spirit life. They are a stage up from thought forms. These thought forms are merely projections from the conscious or unconscious mind of the human, and they have merely a pseudo-life of their own. Thought forms were created by the ancient Egyptian priests in order that the mummified bodies of great pharaohs and famous queens could be protected from those who would desecrate the ancient tombs. Thought forms are constructed with the idea that they shall repel invaders, that they shall attack by impinging upon the consciousness of those who would intrude, and in impinging upon the consciousness, to cause such extreme terror that the would-be burglar flees. We are not concerned with thought forms, for they are mindless entities which are merely charged by long-dead priests and set to accomplish certain tasks, the guarding of tombs against invaders. We are concerned for the moment with elementals. Elementals, as we have stated, are spirit people in the early stages of development. In the spirit world, the astral world, they correspond roughly to the position occupied by monkeys in the human world. Monkeys are irresponsible, mischievous, frequently spiteful, and vicious, and they have no great reasoning power of their own. They are, as one might just say, animated lumps of protoplasm. Elementals, occupying about the same status in the astral world as monkeys in the human world, are forms which move about more or less without purpose. They gibber and put on strange, horrifying expressions. They make threatening motions at an astral-traveling human, but of course, they can do no harm. Always keep that in mind. They can do no harm. If you have ever been so unfortunate as to go to a mental hospital and see really bad cases of mental derangement, you will have been shocked at the manner in which some of the worst cases there come up to one and make threatening or possibly meaningless gestures. They slobber and drool, but if they are faced with determination, they, being of a very inferior mentality, always retreat. When you move through the lower astral planes, you may meet some of these people, some of these strange, outlandish creatures. Sometimes, if a traveler is timid, these creatures cluster around and try to fluster one. There is no harm in that. They are quite harmless, really, unless one is afraid of them. When one is starting astral travel, you will often get two or three of these lower entities congregating nearby to see how you make out. in much the same way as a certain type of person always likes to look at a learner driver taking a car out for the first time. The spectator always hopes that something gory or exciting will happen, and sometimes, if the learner driver is flustered, he, or more usually she, will collide with a lamp post or something else to the great delight of the spectators. The spectators, as such, mean no harm. They're just sensationalists trying to get a cheap thrill. So with the elementals, they are merely out for cheap entertainment. They like to see the discomfiture of humans. Therefore, if you show any fear, these elementals will be delighted and will keep up their gesticulations, their fierce and threatening approaches. Actually, they can do nothing whatever to any human. They're more like dogs who can bark only, and a barking dog does no harm. Furthermore, they can only annoy you so long as you, through your fear, permit them to. Have no fear. Nothing whatever can happen to you. You leave your body, you soar into the astral plane, and about 90 or 99 times out of 100, you will not see any of these low entities. Again, you will only see them if you're afraid of them. Normally, you will soar up and beyond their realm. They are clustered right at the bottom of the astral plane, in much the same way as worms cluster at the bottom of a river or sea. When you move up into the astral planes, you will meet many remarkable occurrences. You may, in the distance, see great and brilliant gleams of light. These are from planes of existence presently beyond your reach. Remember our keyboard? The human entity, while in the flesh, can be aware of only 3 or 4 notes, but in getting out of the body and into the astral world, you've extended your range of notes a little upwards. You have extended that range enough to become aware that there are greater things ahead of you. Some of these things are represented by the bright lights, which are so bright that you cannot really see what they are. But let us content ourselves for the time being with the middle astral. Here you can visit your friends or your relations. You can visit the cities of the world and see the great public buildings. You can read books in strange languages. For remember, in the middle astral planes, all languages are known to you. You will need to practice astral travel. Here is a description of what it is like, a description which can be your own experience with practice. The day had grown old, and the shadows of night had fallen, leaving the purple twilight, which gradually grew darker and darker, until at last the sky turned indigo, and then black. Little lights had sprung up all around, the whitish-blue lights which illumined the streets, the yellowish lights which were the lights within the houses. Perhaps they had been tinted somewhat by the blinds or curtains through which they shone. The body was resting in bed, fully conscious, fully relaxed. Gradually there came a faint creaking sensation, a feeling as if something was drifting, shifting. There was the faintest of faint itches through the body. Gradually there came a separation. Above the prone body, a cloud formed at the end of a gleaming silver cord. The cloud started as an indistinct mass, something like a big blot of ink floating in the air. Slowly, it formed into the shape of a human body. It formed and rose to about 3 or 4 feet, where it swayed and twisted. Over some seconds, the body of the astral rose higher, then the feet tilted. Slowly, it sank down, so that it was standing at the foot of the bed, looking at the physical body, which it had just left, and to which it was still attached. In the room, the flickering shadows crept into the corners like strange animals at bay. The silver cord was vibrating and shining with a dull, silvery blue light. The astral body itself was limned with blue light. The figure in the astral looked about, and then looked down upon the physical body resting comfortably on the bed. The eyes were now shut. The breathing was quiet and shallow. There was no movement, no twitching. The body appeared to be resting comfortably. The silver cord did not vibrate. Therefore, there was no evidence of any unease. Satisfied, the astral form silently and slowly rose up into the air, passed through the ceiling of the room and through the roof above, out into the night air. The silver cord lengthened but did not diminish in thickness. It was as if the astral figure was a gas-filled balloon tethered to the house, which was the physical body. The astral figure rose until it was 50, 100, 200 feet above the rooftops. There it stopped, floated idly, and looked about. From houses all along the street, and from streets beyond, there were the faint blue lines which were the silver cords of other people. They extended up and up and disappeared into some illimitable distance. People always traveled by night, whether they know it or not, but only the favored ones, the ones who practice, come back with the full knowledge of all that they have done. This particular astral form was floating above the rooftops, looking about, deciding where to go. At last, it decided to visit a land far, far away. Upon the instant of decision, it started into fantastic speed, whirling almost with the speed of thought across the land, across the seas, and as it crossed the sea below, the great waves leapt up with the white crests at the top. At one point in its journey, it peered down at a great liner racing across the turbulent seas, with all lights on and the sound of music coming from the decks. The astral form sped on, overtaking time. The night gave way to the evening before. The astral was catching up on time. Night gave way to evening, and evening, in its turn, was overtaken and became late afternoon. Late afternoon was outstripped and became noon itself. At last, in the bright sunlight, the astral figure saw that which it had come to see, the land so far away, a dearly beloved land with dearly beloved people. Gently the astral figure sank to the earth and mixed unseen, unheard, among those who were in the physical body. Eventually, there came an insistent tugging, a twisting of the silver cord. Far, far away in a different land, the physical body, which had been left behind, was sensing the break of day and was recalling its astral. For some moments, the astral lingered on, but at last the warning could no longer be ignored. Up into the air rose the shadowed form, poised motionless for a moment like a homing pigeon, then sped across the skies, flashing across land, across water, back to the place of the rooftop. Other cords were trembling, too. Other people were returning to their physical bodies, but this particular astral form sank down through the rooftop and emerged through the ceiling over the slumbering figure of its physical. Lightly, slowly, it sank down and positioned itself precisely above the physical body. Slowly, gently, and with infinite care, it descended and merged into that physical body. For a moment, there was a sensation of intense cold, a sensation of dullness, of leaden weight pressing down. Gone was the lightness, the feeling of freedom, the bright colors experienced in the astral body. Instead, there was cold. It felt as if a warm body was putting on a wet suit of clothes. The physical body stirred and the eyes opened. Outside the windows, the first faint streaks of daylight were showing above the horizon. The body stirred and said, "I remember all my experiences of the night." You too can have such experiences. You too can travel in the astral. You can see those whom you love, and the greater the ties between you and those whom you love, the more easily you can travel. It needs practice and more practice. According to old Eastern tales, in the days of long, long ago, all mankind could travel in the astral, but because so many people abused that privilege, it was taken away. For those who are pure in thought, for those who are pure in mind, practice will bring release for the leaden, cloying weight of the body and will enable one to go wherever one wills. You will not do it in 5 minutes or in 5 days. You must imagine that you can do it. Whatever you believe you are, that you are. Whatever you believe you can do, that you can do. If you really believe, if you sincerely believe that you can do a thing, then you can do that thing. Believe, believe, and with practice, you will travel in the astral. Again, have no fear, for while in the astral no one can harm you, no matter how fearsome, no matter how terrifying is the aspect of lower entities, whom you may but probably will not see. They can do nothing to you unless you are afraid. The absence of fear ensures your absolute protection. So, will you practice? Will you decide where you are going? Lie down upon your bed. You must be alone in your bed, of course. And tell yourself that this night you are going to such and such a place to see so and so. And when you awaken in the morning, you will remember everything that you did. Practice is all that is necessary to make this attainable. End of Lesson 10.